As you walk through the valley of the shadow of hell, you will see through the fog a bend in reality. A veil that is beyond your own comprehension. It's the other side. Beyond the void.
What's up, guys, and welcome back to Beyond the Void
Horror Podcast.
That's right. It's episode 368, and today we're doing a community choice movie that was number 3 called Blood Diner. That's right. So it's a So Bad It's Good film, a movie that was technically supposed to be the sequel to Blood Feast. It was actually going to be called Blood Feast 2. And it was actually owned by the producer, the original Blood Feast, by the way. And they changed things up a bit, and it kind of became its own thing, even though it is kind of pretty much the sequel.
Uh-huh.
But it's different, you know what I mean? It's a different movie, insanely goofy, and we got to watch it, and we decided to talk about it with you guys. So buckle the fuck up. We're going to have a good time here. So, Christina, how are you doing?
I'm good. We started watching Fallout.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. We watched it separately, but yeah, I would like to hear what you think first.
Oh, I've never played the game, so I didn't know what the fuck. Yeah, I'm enjoying it so far, and then I've been watching all people do videos on the lore and stuff.
Oh, yeah. You know, people have been really jazzed up about it.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I'm excited to finish it.
What did you think of it as a person from the outside looking in, never playing the game?
Oh, again, I liked it. I'm enjoying it.
Like, how are you sitting at the first 3 episodes right now?
I'm good. I can't wait to see what else happens to the characters.
What would you say, like, score-wise, you are at with the 3 that you've seen?
Oh, I don't know, like 6. It was really slow. I thought it was really slow the first couple episodes, but yeah. I understand they were, like, introducing the characters and stuff, but
yeah. 6, really? I'm at a 7, maybe 7.5, but I feel like, you know, obviously we've only seen the beginning of the movie.
How do you like it compared to the game?
I think it's spot on. I think it's actually really good. And, I heard that Walter Goggins, who plays the ghoul, the like bad guy in it, he actually decided that he didn't want to know the lore.
Oh yeah. I saw that.
Yeah. Not because he didn't appreciate it. He just felt like everybody else was so lore heavy that somebody needed to be an outsider
that
a little bit.
Yeah. He could bring it to the table.
Right.
As
something
an
new,
outsider,
something
yeah.
new. But yeah, I like the 2 other characters in it. They're really good at their job. And it's like these kind of characters that are just a little bit more nuanced and different than you would expect.
I love how Lucy is actually Jackie in Yellow Jackets. Cause I love Yellow Jackets. And she,
this is her reclaim.
And they like ate Jackie. Sorry if I'm spoiling anything.
Yeah,
well, no, that was in the first season. So whatever. Yeah. They ate her in the, you know. In Yellow Jackets, so I'm like, oh, are they going to eat her in this?
She's going to eat somebody. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, spoiler.
She's going to go feral. There's some complexity to the characters, though. You can already see them kind of start to branch out a little bit after the first 3 episodes. And I think if you haven't watched past the first episode, I think 3 is the marker that'll make you like sold on it. You know what I mean? Because I feel like it's like one big movie, right? If we're going to spread it out over... 9 or 10 episodes, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
I think 3 is fair.
Okay.
I think you'll miss out if you don't watch to episode 3 at least,
mm-hmm.
in other words. But yeah, I really like it. I like the sound design, the music, the comedy, the like characters, the actors that are in it, like Kyle MacLachlan, isn't that his name is?
Yeah.
Dude, Kyle.
Peaks?
Yeah. Peaks? I want to see more of him, but you
I
know.
I do too. I think he comes along.
I'm sure he will.
Later on.
There's going to be some complexity to like his kids and their, you know, like there's a lot going on. And there is definitely that rooted humor in it, but it's not like slapstick stupid humor. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
There's a myriad of types, and it's got that specific Fallout brand of humor that's like dark and like satirical and like, I don't know how to explain it. It's just dark humor. And it's like, it's kind of like, you know, kind of making fun of the whole nuclear family and stuff like that.
Right.
It's definitely heavy handed in that, but it is interesting and fun. And I really like it. So, and it's graphic as fuck, by the way. Really extremely graphic.
It's
so
bloody.
Yeah. By episode three, I was like, holy crap. And it's someone you're like, yeah. Were you excited when he died or whatever, that person?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
It's fun.
Anyway. So yeah, I watched that. I've got some new reviews that are coming up. I did watch Arcadian. If you guys haven't seen that, Christina and I went to the theater on that. If you saw my review, you want to give them your quick little elevator review?
I was just disappointed. And it had nothing to do with the actual storyline. It more had to do with the way it was shot and how it gave me a fucking headache.
Yeah, it did. I genuinely felt it. And it sounds like an excuse to whine about.
But no, it's not.
It really was on my mind the entire time. It was like a distraction.
Yeah. So I just wouldn't recommend seeing it in the theater, but I'm going to try watching it at home when we're able to.
Yeah,
I think it'll be on Shudder.
It definitely has some good shit in it for sure.
I'll watch it on Shudder and hopefully it won't be as that.
I think I was a fair critic on the movie, right?
I think so too. And I think because all the reviews I read, like I was kind of pissed because no one said anything. And I was like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. Like you can't watch movies like that.
Yeah, it felt like my eyes were jittery and I was getting nauseous.
Yeah, and I thought it was maybe the projection or something, but like even the end credits
no,
were fine.
No, it's in the trailer. But, that's how I knew.
Yeah.
I saw it in the trailer.
Right.
But when you're on a bigger screen, yeah, obviously. Yeah. So. But anyway, check that out. I got another review of Zatoichi, the Blind Swordsman with Takashi Kitano. As the Zatoichi, if you guys know the story of Zatoichi, he's a blind swordsman and he goes around basically being a badass. There's literally like 20 movies and a TV show that were really, really popular. And the original guy who plays Zatoichi was the bigger brother of the Lone Wolf and Cub guy.
Oh.
So prepped me all for it. You know what I mean? So. Mm-hmm. But I got some new stuff coming out, guys. Check that out. Other than that, what else? Is there anything else we need to talk about?
Well, there was trailers that came out this week.
And we do have a winner for our...
our giveaway winner.
Our giveaway winner. Mm-hmm. Almost forgot about that. Jesus Christ.
Again.
I know. What was it? What was the trailer thing you said?
Well, Maxine came out, so I watched about half of that trailer.
I didn't watch it yet.
Yeah, because I was like, wait a second, I don't want to watch this because I already know I'm going to watch the movie. And then the Joker 2 came out with Lady Gaga.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about horror ones. I was like confused a little bit. But other ones that we see, they were horror.
Maxine's horror.
I mean, yeah.
Joker 2's kind of horror.
Not really.
Okay.
It's more crime. More crime, I would say. More crime entertainment.
Oh.
Crime drama entertainment. Uh-huh. It's musical, actually, too.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a musical.
All right, guys. So real quick, before we get started on this review and spoiler discussion of the movie Blood Diner, we're going to announce our winner. We announced that we were going to be doing a giveaway, and MVD Entertainment and Unearth were obliged to give away a copy of The Abandoned, and we wanted to give that to you guys. And we decided to include a couple other ones, which was The Sound of Summer, The Quiet Earth, and a 4K copy of Beetlejuice, all for you, and as long as you're a U.S. resident. So the winner of the contest is, and thank you again, MVD and Unearth. We appreciate you guys. Thank you. Please make sure you follow them on social media if you haven't already, even just to find out when they do sales. So the winner is Garrett, a.k.a. Sin Fury. So come on down. No, they're not here actually, so. But you know, congratulations on winning the four movies. We really do appreciate you. I know that I think Cinefury's been following for a very long time, and they seem to open up their subscription emails quite a bit, hint hint,
Congratulations.
Congratulations, man. I appreciate your support. Much love to you. Been a subscriber since the beginning. So that's good to see. Never won before either, just so you guys know. Okay. But you can win. If you just wait 8 years, you know. No, but yeah, thank you very much, guys. Now we're going to jump into our flesh and potatoes of our blood diner. And we're going to go ahead and do that right now. Christina, do you want to tell us all about it?
Sure. Blood Diner was released July 10th, 1987. You can actually watch it on the Roku.
That's right.
Thing that they have. I don't know. But it's about two brothers are entrusted by their uncle to uphold the ritualistic cannibalism of an ancient cult of Shitar. In order to do so, they have to prepare a feast of sacrifice for the resurrection of their goddess, Shitar.
Shitar! Sorry.
We got some taglines for this film.
Oh, God, this is the greatest.
First they greet you, then they eat you. Feels so good. It tastes just like mom used to. Get that one.
They didn't iron that one out too well. They're like, I had the idea, but I didn't really know.
The ultimate in killer cuisine. Yeah.
I would say the first one, last one, third one, or middle one, in that order.
Yeah.
So this is directed by Jackie Kong. It is one of the directors who actually did The Being and Night Patrol for Vestron. They actually did three movies for Vestron. A little more on that later. We got writer Michael Saunier, I think is how you say his name. He's an actor and a writer known for Cold Steel.
Cold Steel.
Sorry. Had to do that.
Out of control.
He was also in The Adventures of Tara, or wrote for it, I guess. Prisoner Ship Star Slammer, which I really want to watch, by the way. And Sorority Babes and Slime Bowlerama from 1988, which is another movie that we have that we haven't watched yet, talked about. I've never seen it, actually. We got stars Rick Burks, who plays Michael Tutman. He was in The Underachievers from 1987. David Bowie's Day In, Day Out music video, which is really strange.
Yeah.
He unfortunately passed away 2 years after this film released. He was living at the time with the producer, actually.
Oh, yeah.
And the producer went into like a deep depression for like 6 months.
Oh.
He was living with him and he was like, you know, he dated a few people now and then. So it never, you know, wasn't like unsurprising if I didn't hear from him for a couple of days. And his sister contacted the producer and was like, you know, by the way, he got in a car accident.
So oh, that sucks.
Sad. We also have Carl Crew, who plays George Tutman, the wacky guy. He was in The Secret Life of Jeffrey Dahmer.
In 1993, too.
Totally makes sense. The Forbidden Dimensions as well from 2013. We got Roger Dower, who plays Mark Shepard, which is the police officer?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, he was in My Lovely Monster in 1991 and the new Mike Hammer from 1984. That sounds like a porno or something. I don't know what the hell. We also have Lanette LaFrance. She plays Sheba Jackson, and this is it.
I thought she looked like Rudy from The Cosby Show.
A little bit.
Ruby?
Yeah, like a grown-up version.
Yeah, like a grown-up version, though.
Right.
I was trying to figure out if they were related or not.
She looked kind of like Janet Jackson a little bit to me.
Yeah, she did that too, yeah.
We also have Lisa Elena, who plays Connie, and she was in Tequila Bonita, Bonetti? Tequila and Bonetti. And Hard Rock Nightmare from 1988. The budget on this one had $330,000, which is absolutely correct. I actually have that myself. Christina.
Yes.
What did you think of this fine Blood Feast 2 sequel?
Last week, we watched Trash Cinema, and we are continuing the series.
Yes. I think that's, like, popular. I really like doing it.
I do, too. Well, as long as it's not boring, and this one was not boring. This one was not slow. It was nonstop absurd. Like, something weird is going on in every single fucking scene in this movie. Like, it's like every single scene, something weird is happening. It's crazy.
It's true.
Every character is weird, even the normal ones. Connie was a little weird, too. She was like the normal list character of the normal.
No one's a real actor kind of feel.
Yeah.
It feels like, you know, straight Hollywood, but like sideline.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. The story's ridiculous with the Egyptian god, Shitar. But I like how they tied everyone and how they tied Connie and how she related to the story. And she wasn't just some random girl that they were like going to sacrifice. I thought that was really creative. The comical music was great. There was a rockabilly band like out in the middle of nowhere.
There was a blues band. It was a lot of blues 50s swing.
And it's funny because they were trying to make it very 50s, but I mean, they weren't really pulling it off, but...
Well, it's from a real band from the 50s, like this doo-wop singer. That's what it was. Doo-wop. That's what they call it. But it was like the five guys that sing in the front.
Mm-hmm.
And like, they're really popular. He said he got like, it was like $100 a song. But if he did it today, it would be like $20,000 a song.
Oh, wow.
So he got it really cheap. So.
Yeah, but, he did. But I kind of wish there was more like 50s diner in this, because... I wasn't really, it's like they had the 50s.
The Hollywood diner.
Yeah, aesthetic in there, but I didn't really, I don't know. I just wish there was more, kind of. But after watching this, I really wanted to watch Night of the Demons for some reason. I don't know that this would be like a good double feature for some reason. I don't know. But yeah, I gave it a 9 out of 10 because I had a good time. It was funny.
Really?
It was funny. It was fun. Yeah.
See, some of the highest scores you ever give are these movies that you keep telling me you don't want to watch.
Well, yeah, because most, again, like I said last week, most of them are shit. This one wasn't shit.
I think I'm starting to get her taste a little bit, guys.
And then I did look up the VHS. I was like, oh, it'd be so cool to have a VHS copy of this. But they're going for about $80.
Yeah.
So I was like, Jesus Christ.
Well, we have the Vestron Collector Series that was given to us.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
which
pretty
is even
good.
Better. But just for the aesthetics of the 80s,
she
I
likes
want the VHS.
VHS. No. You know how many years, guys, that I had to spend with her telling me that she couldn't stand my VHS collection?
It's true, I couldn't.
And she told me to put them in the fucking garage. Okay?
So they could melt.
Yeah, exactly.
But then I figured a way on how to display them as art. So now it's art, and we use them as art. It isn't like we watch them.
I'll flash a picture of this, of our wall. Anyway. Do you want to ask me what I thought, Christina? We have a thing that we do.
I'm sorry. What did you think of this?
I'm literally going like this. Come here. Come on.
What'd you think, Alex?
Oh, I'm so glad that you asked, Christina. Thank you.
Like, where am I? What's going on?
So, yeah, this is goofy. This is a goofy, silly, so bad it's good, intentionally bad kind of film, you know? So it's kind of hard to call it a so bad it's good film. But it has that kind of charm about it where you're just supposed to have fun while watching it. You know, it's not exactly a movie that you go into and go, God, I wish they would have acted better in this one. You know, like, no, it's intentionally meant to be schlocky and very silly and very like, what the fuck? Like, there is stuff in this movie that people do that are just obligatory and they're done to make the story interesting and to hopefully get a laugh out of you. You know, that's what the writer was talking about when he wrote this and he was hired to do this. So you know, it's just one of those things. It's one of those movies that is like kind of reminded me of the silliness, only a little more adult on this one, because there's a lot of sex and like breasts and nudity and like nude fighting and crazy stuff. It kind of reminded me of stuff like Saturday the 13th.
Saturday the 14th.
I'm sorry, Saturday the 14th and part two, and just that kind of silly, like everything's a joke kind of thing.
Right.
Like, and not necessarily the same type of humor there, but just kind of in that vein where just no joke is off bounds. You know what I mean? Like, everything is over the top. It's a lot of it is like probably really good for today's crowd because it's like a lot of really quick, random things that happen. And that seems to be very popular in today's world because everyone's stupid. No, I'm kidding. No, I actually really liked it. So, yeah, so I'm stupid too. But no, I think it's just stupid fun. You know, it's like one of those movies you're not supposed to think too much about it. You're just supposed to go, I can't believe they made this. Mm-hmm. And then laugh at certain parts, and which we did. Genuine laughter from this movie. You know, not every joke's going to be the best, but genuinely I had a good time. And I would say, like, I'd probably give this one like an 8.5. Mm-hmm. I liked it more than the Lady Terminator, but I like them for different things.
Right, exactly.
Like, Lady Terminator is so bad it's good in that, like, they took it too seriously. Mm-hmm. This one is like they're pushing the bad intentionally and it ended up working. You know right. what I mean? So it's like really weird because a lot of those movies don't really have a lot of weight or longevity to them. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like,
right.
I watch these old movies like that I used to love when I was a kid that are like this. And they're not as good.
Yeah, exactly.
But this one is actually really fucking fun, and I really like it.
It's
so
a lot of fun.
It's definitely up. I'm like I said, I know what kind of movies you like now. You like stupid movies, like your dad told us. It's so funny.
But what I don't like, I just don't like stupid parts.
No, I know. I'm totally kidding,
there's
Christina.
There's movies out there that are.
I just think it's funny.
They're horrible, but they have good parts.
And no, this is a great movie.
Both these movies
are
great.
I'm not giving this an 8.5 unironically or ironically or something.
Sure?
Yeah, no, I'm definitely giving it an 8.5 because I could watch this anytime. There's just some weird shit in this movie, and it's totally up my alley. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know what it is about it, you know? I really liked it, and I enjoy it, and I can watch it again, and I'm really glad that I have it now, you know? Like, I think I've watched this like one or two times in my entire life. And both of the times that I watched it before this, I never finished the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Or
really?
Or I fell asleep in the middle or something like that. So this was the first time that I actually got to watch it all the way through.
Oh, wow.
Because I remember we talked to Shelley about this movie because she loves this movie. This is like one of her favorite movies.
Right.
So, and you know who I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
But yeah, I think you will enjoy it. Give it a chance. Give it a whirl. Try it out. Don't expect anything like too hilarious, you know? Just expect a bunch of silliness, you know? It's like a Hollywood sideline actors who were friends, obviously. It felt like a friend made this movie, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and you could just laugh along and have a good time with them. The practical effects in this movie were great. The nudity was insane, and they really go...
Sheetar looked amazing.
They go the distance on, like, pushing the boundaries in this movie. It's weird. Like, normally I would be like, oh, God. But it's not like that. It's more just like, they just do it without trying to make a big deal about it.
There's a naked lady who's doing kung fu.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, that was funny.
And we're talking full nude, too. Like, that's the crazy thing. It reminded me of, like, a John Waters film.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But like early, early John Waters film and like a little more silly than his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because of how brave it was about certain things.
Right.
But yeah, I'd say check it out. If you have anything opposed to anything I just said, maybe it's not for you. It's definitely 80s, very 80s, by the way. And it's very Hollywood for the time as well.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have some trivia and some spoilers that we're going to go over. So if you haven't seen this movie, you can watch it online. Where can they see it, Christina?
On the Roku channel.
Okay.
It's on demand on Roku.
Oh, okay. So if you have Roku, you can check it out there. Otherwise, I think you can still pick up a copy of this from Vestron. And they usually have quite a few. So anywhere, Amazon. But I'll put a link down below if you're interested. So if you don't want anything spoiled, here's your warning. We do have some trivia on this. Oh, I thought you were telling me to stop. I was like, why?
No.
The producer, Jimmy Maslin, was the producer. He owns all the rights to the Herschel Gordon Lewis films. So he owns all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Big fan of Herschel Gordon Lewis and loved Blood Feast, the original movie. So that's why he wanted to make a sequel. And that's why he got away with making a sort of kind of sequel, but not sequel. It's its own standalone thing. It's using elements from the original movie, not the same characters.
Oh.
Because there's an uncle in this movie called Anwar Tutman, and he is supposed to be the killer from the first movie, I think, but they changed it around to make him into another type of Sheetar worshiping person.
Oh, okay.
Because in the Blood Feast, I believe that guy dies. I'm not 100% sure. I forgot how that ends now, but I just watched it not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
So they wanted to kind of make a remake, but it ended up making something more bizarre, even though it borrows a lot from the movies to kind of make the lore about it.
Uh-huh.
Jimmy approached Michael Sonye, and they also call him Dookie Flyswatter. That's his alias, I guess, on other projects, to help write the screenplay because he thought he was funny and he was one of the only people who knew Blood Feast.
Oh.
So he had a bunch of trailers that he was like pitching around town and showing people because people used to love to watch trailers because we didn't have the internet, guys. This was like watching YouTube trailers for you horror fans that are like looking for, you know what I mean?
Right.
That's how we did it back then. We would watch them at drive-in theaters. People would collect them.
Well, they'd be on the TV too. Commercial.
Yeah, but mostly on.
But not something like this though.
At theaters and stuff because they couldn't show the gory stuff or the gory trailers. They'd have to show them only at the theater.
At the theater, yeah.
We're talking way back, you know? So that guy, by the way, Michael Sonye, apparently was supposed to get more money for writing or something and like a residual, like a point on the back end or whatever, just for this movie. And apparently nothing ever went through, but he's still very proud of the movie, he said.
Oh, that's good.
So he was like, so I learned, you know, that's how you do it in Hollywood. You got to ask up front, you don't give them the work until you got paid.
Mm-hmm.
So sad, but you know, especially in such a small film,
mm-hmm.
people thought Jackie Kong was a man.
Mm-hmm.
Jackie Kong was actually the younger sister of the producer's girlfriend at the time.
Oh.
And Jackie Kong, when she did this movie, a lot of people thought it was a man.
Mm-hmm.
Because let's face it, this is kind of misogynist a little bit.
It's very misogynist.
We should have mentioned that in the earlier part, but like, yeah, it has some stuff in it that is, you would think that is very like old man, like, pervy stuff.
Yeah.
You know, right?
Right.
But not too much. Like, nothing offended me in it. So I guess I don't really care. You know, do you think people would be sensitive to it?
I think so. Of course.
Okay. Like, I don't mind seeing it, but I'm not here to jerk off.
In my mind, they put it in there because usually in horror movies, it's like, okay, people are having sex. Somebody needs to die.
I have a lot of friends that really love it in their slasher movies. I don't get it. It's not my thing. I'd rather have the real thing. You know what I mean? Anyway, I'm not offended by it. I'm just going to make that clear. But she thought, you know, it'd be good to come out and finally say, hey, I'm a woman. You know, I've made this and you didn't think I was this sleazy, huh? Well, guess what? I am. And not only that, a lot of the people I hired that were on the set actually were women. And producers, and she was a producer, and
right,
you know, so it just goes to show you that, you know, women can be more sleazy than men sometimes. That's what she was saying.
Oh,
not necessarily sleazy wasn't her word,
right?
But you get the drift, the general idea.
It's a trashy movie.
Yeah, and she also did a movie called Night Patrol, which is a little along that line too. So,
mm-hmm.
And that was before she used the same crew. From that one to come to this one.
Oh, makes sense.
But yeah, they only had $330,000 to do this film. And that's actually quite a bit if you think about it for a movie of this nature. It's not a lot of money for the graphic practical effects and stuff that they needed to do and mm-hmm. all the different locations. Like, I looked it up and the diner where the Tutman Cafe is, where they do a vegan cafe.
It's vegetarian.
Yeah, whatever. They basically are eating people with it, obviously, spoiler alert, but I looked it up and it's actually now called Greco's New York Pizza.
Oh, nice. It's Pizzeria. Still there then. That's cool.
Yeah. And it was definitely on Hollywood Boulevard. It was actually 6400 Hollywood Boulevard in Los Angeles, California.
Nice.
And the cave scene where we see the nude lady fighting.
Right.
That was at the Bronson Caves in Los Angeles.
Oh, okay.
So there's like a area just outside.
I was
just
wondering
outside.
If that was a real cave or if it was a set.
Oh, it definitely is. It's just not a big one.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's very open. You can see. Mm-hmm. I've seen that in other movies, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
You know, when you're in Los Angeles, you take whatever you can, I guess, right?
Right.
That's pretty much all I have for the trivia. We're going to talk about some of our favorite scenes and what we liked about him and anything in unique that you want to mention up front about the film.
It opened up with a disclaimer, which I thought was odd.
Well, they did it in the beginning of Blood Feast.
Oh, okay.
And they give out vomit bags at the original Blood Feast as well. So they wanted to kind of carry the torch from that
into this movie. Oh, that's why, because I thought it was odd. I was like, okay, that's weird.
Yeah, they wanted to give it that kind of... My dog is eating the crotch out of the lamb.
Gotta get that squeak.
Anyway.
I also thought it was odd the brother's name was George Michael. George Ed Michael. George Michael. Do you think they did that on purpose?
I mean, he was very popular at that time.
Very popular. Was that
he was
80?
In Wham, and then he did his own music project, you know. But I think this was probably right in between.
Yeah, I thought that was odd.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. That's true. I didn't look it up. I didn't want to spoil. I didn't want to do too much trivia and then not be able to talk about some of the scenes.
Exactly.
There's some pretty silly scenes in this. They do a 20 years later, and immediately you see how silly this movie is going to get, you know?
Because they're in a graveyard.
They're in a graveyard digging up somebody, reminiscent of Jason Lives almost. And they're digging up old Uncle Anwar, who is like a dead body in the ground that's been rotted for 20 years. And like they hit the back of the head of a night watchman. And his eyes come popping out of his head, like, just like that. And they're just so silly about it. They're just like, oh, look, I put him back in. Georgie in this movie is fucking mental, okay?
He's crazy.
He's a wrestler, and he's crazy. He's a serial killer, mm-hmm. and he's not very bright.
Not bright.
But he's like the powerhouse of the group, you know?
He's silly.
He's like the meteor strong guy. Mm-hmm. And he's just stupid and silly. And there's some really funny scenes with Georgie, I think, in this film. But I think Michael does a really good job as well. Mm-hmm. Like, his character is a little bit more the smarter, funny guy. And he's like luring these women in while Georgie... one of my favorite scenes. Georgie runs over the biker, who is also the restaurant reviewer.
Oh, that's right.
He plays a biker in this, too. Mm-hmm. Dude, the biker's like, hey, my bike's broken. And then he's like, oh! And then he gets fucking hit. And then Georgie's like, yeah!
And then he backs up. He backs up on him again.
You see him crawling across the ground, and he's like, I'm going to get back up. And then he backs over him, goes over him again. It's like Jeepers Creepers all over again. Before Jeepers Creepers, you know what I mean?
Right.
Where they just run over with so much glee. And yeah, I forget how that ends, actually.
I think that's it. That scene.
You just kept running over
him. That's it, yeah.
That was funny, though. I like that.
Yeah.
What about you?
And then, of course, we have the nude aerobics exercise with the cheerleaders that they just cut to in every single... Everybody's nude, even the instructor. Everyone's nude working out. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Ronald Reagan comes in, who's George.
Yeah.
He comes in a Ronald Reagan mask, and then he just annihilates with every nude aerobics person in there, which was absolutely hilarious. And I thought
it was
so funny.
He shoots them all in the head, by the way.
It was so funny, too, because I was like, is this Point Break? Like, what's going on? Because remember Point Break? He like was wearing Ronald Reagan and Nixon and they robbed the bank. I was like, wait, when did that come out? Do you think they got this from this movie?
Well, they got Nancy and Ronald Reagan in this one. They were both like actually wearing the mask because you see the other one, the other brother mm-hmm. wearing it. But yeah, then they take their bodies and then put them together in a like Frankenstein way to give Sheetar a body. Yeah, which is so weird. The weird thing about this one, I thought, also compared to the other Blood Feast movies, is that the killing was much more prevalent in those movies. Like, they were a little bit more standout, I think. And I think they are in this movie, too, but they're so silly that you can't really... There's no impact to the kills. But there is one kill that I think is probably the best kill in the entire movie.
Was it the deep fried head?
Yes, the deep fried head, dude. So in the original, there was a, I forget what which movie it was, 100, it was one of the other Herschel Gordon Lewis films, and I can't remember which one it's called. I think it had the number 100 in it, or 100 Maniacs, 1000 Maniacs, maybe?
I have no 100 idea.
100 Maniacs, I think. Anyway, there's a deep fry scene in one of those old Lewis films, and they wanted to do an homage to it, but they wanted to go a little bit further. So the Michael character is like basting this girl.
Who's naked, of course.
Yeah, and they're trying to get a two stomachs from, what do they call them? Like unkempt women or something?
Oh,
or
trashy.
Trashy
yeah,
women.
Yeah, they had to be like really trashy women.
Yeah, so then he's like, I got a game we can play. And she's like, oh yeah, what's that? And he's like, here, follow me. And then he starts it's called Batter the Babe or something like that. And then he puts pancake batter all over her and then puts her head under the fucking fryer. And she pops up out with a big ball of...
It looked like she had a big donut hole on her head. She had a big donut hole on her head.
And the best part is the earrings. She has the earrings that are poking through the like... the actual fried bread around her head. She's like, oh!
Yeah, she gets up running.
And then someone smacks her with a broom, and then the head rolls into Georgie having sex with this other girl.
The other girl, yeah.
And she's like, something's wrong, Georgie. I gotta go.
So then she gets up, and she's like, I'm leaving. And
she's like,
leaves.
Where are you, Chelsea? Chelsea, where are you? And her head's like right next to her.
She figures it out, so she's like, I'm out of here. Oh, shit, I forgot my purse. She goes back and
she sees Michael yanking out the organs of her friend and chucking him into a fucking a bowl.
Oh, is that what that was?
Yeah.
And then she gets cut in half.
Oh, that's right. Because he's he appears with the axe.
Yeah, just an axe, a regular axe, split her completely down the middle.
It's
because that's
diner.
Possible.
Come on.
I liked it when George wrestles Jimmy Hitler.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. It was so ridiculous. And then George takes a bite out of his arm.
Leg.
And then, oh, was it his leg? Oh, I'm sorry. He took a bite of his leg.
And Michael's in the audience with his date.
Yeah. And then
Connie.
The blood just starts squirting on her. Only her.
No, he spits it at her.
Oh.
He spits the piece of the leg at her.
Uh-huh.
With the blood in his mouth. And she's like, oh, my God. And this is what I remember the most. Is that he's like, yeah, but it's just a little blood, you know? And she's like, I don't know, Michael.
I gotta get out of here.
I gotta go home. And he's like, well, I guess I can't stop you. Whack! And punches her in the face. And a patron in the audience sees it and is like, hey.
Huh?
And
what
he's like,
hell?
He's like, hey, she has an aversion to blood somehow. And he's like, oh, okay. And then goes back to whatever he's... You want to talk about?
Yeah, she can't stand the sight of blood. That's what he said.
Right. We'll talk about one last scene. It's got to be the nude biting scene, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. I mean, the end, I guess we could talk about the end,
It was kind of, they have the blood buffet at Club Dread. And
where they give them all the hunger drugs.
Yeah, they're getting all drugged up and shit. And then Michael does a ritual, and then everybody turns into like these green ravenous zombies, and they start eating flesh and stuff.
Right.
And then Sheetar wakes up and starts killing
shooting
everybody.
Lasers at people. She like makes the singer's head pop.
Right.
Which was really cool.
Right.
And then Georgie falls head first into her chest vagina. I guess his head got off.
Right.
And then Sheetar's at the end and getting in the car with some dude who's like, hey, mama, what's up?
Hey, get the car. Let's go. Blah,
hey,
blah, blah.
Sweet thing.
What do they call you?
Sheetar.
They call me Sheetar.
And she's got like gangle teeth.
She's got meth mouth.
Terrible.
What? It's just the truth.
I don't think she smokes meth. She smokes human.
Well, whatever. Methy human, then, I guess.
Anyway, I will mention the nude fighting scene. There's two people having sex in a cave, and she's like, no, we shouldn't do it here. And he's like, come on, babe. Everything's like dubbed. Come on, babe. We should totally do it. She's like, no, there's a killer around here, and there's just any moment he could pop up, and we don't know who he
is. He's going to pop up when I'm with you.
He's like, I never let that happen. And then Georgie pops up, knocks him out. She's completely nude, pops up and fights Georgie after he beats her up a little bit. Mm-hmm. And he's like shook. He's like, what the hell? And she's like, she kicks his ass and knocks him out. Mm-hmm. And then she goes back to wake up her boyfriend and it's the stalactite, which is the one from the ceiling. Mm-hmm. Stalagmites are the ones that grow up, by the way.
Look at you.
I had to look it up to make sure I was right. but a stalactite hits her right in the head. Just luck be it.
Right.
So ridiculous, dude.
That was ridiculous.
It's yeah. really ridiculous.
But it was fun. It was a fun movie to watch.
Yeah, those are my favorite scenes. I mean, there's other stuff in the movie that we could talk about.
Yeah, because it's just nonstop. Yeah. Every single scene. We didn't even talk about the stand, the other chef with the diner, and his ventriloquist.
He has a ventriloquist doll that just sits there. And it's like, hi, buddy, don't go inside. And it's just a thing.
Right.
It's like a doll.
And there was this, also there was this other part, I'll just mention it really quickly, where he gets his hands chopped off. And then he's driving this car with no hands. It's just ridiculous.
And then he wrecks, of course.
Of course he wrecks.
But he's like driving while it's spurting out of his hands.
But of course his arms are like this long.
You'll never get me. And it's like spraying as he's driving away. It's so cartoonish.
Yeah, but again, like it's just so, it's like every single scene.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Well,
anyway,
I think that's pretty much it for the movie talk this week. But I wanted to try to keep it around 45 minutes to see if YouTube will fucking break the algorithm and will like not be able to like, you know, do our thing here.
Mm-hmm.
But because like lately, I don't know what it is, guys. Like I can't. It's like YouTube recognizes that we're doing this long form podcast and they're like, no, no, no. And I think it's because it's not exclusive to their site, maybe.
Is it under the podcast tab?
No, I mean, I don't know how to upload it any other way, and there is a way that you can. So I'm just letting everybody know that I've been testing it out online, and YouTube is suppressing the shit out of it. I don't know, maybe I say too many cuss words in this that, you know, I'm feeling a little more regular.
Fucking right.
But anyway, next week we are going to watch another movie, but we're not sure yet.
We will let you know.
Yeah, we'll let you know on the social media. Maybe we'll do another you know, poll.
Yep.
And see what you guys want to watch. You know, we're really having fun with these So Bad It's Good ones, I think.
Yeah.
That I wouldn't mind watching some more. I do have some weird Hong Kong ones that I really want to watch. They're called The Peacock King and then the sequel of it that are really So Bad It's Good.
Oh, that's nice.
She's like, I don't want to watch that shit.
No, I
but
don't.
They are really graphic and silly. There's monsters in them. It's pretty cool.
Oh, you say that and then
I'm just saying.
I'm falling asleep.
Maybe we watch the first one and if you hate it so much, you know.
We'll see.
We'll see. Anyway, we'll let you know. Thank you guys for coming by and supporting the channel. If you enjoyed this, you know, obviously, please tell somebody. It really goes a long way to help our get our name out and for us to continue to do the podcast. Because right now, we were almost ready to cut it because like it's just a lot of extra work. But it's because you listeners and watchers enjoy stuff. You know, we have a hard time cutting stuff because we enjoy doing it. So. Share this with somebody that you know. Give us a review online. Let us know what you think in the comment section down below. And as always,
long live the void.